Section 4, Reconstruction in the State. As you read, look for how the Black Codes affected the freedmen of North Carolina, the steps taken by North Carolina to rejoin the Union, changes made by the Republicans, including the Constitution of 1868, problems caused by the Ku Klux Klan in the state, how the conservatives regained power in the state, and the following terms: Reconstruction, Freedmen, Black Codes, Carpetbagger, Universal Manhood Suffrage, Segregate, Ku Klux Klan, Martial Law, Kirk-Holden War, and Impeach. When the Civil War ended in the spring of 1865, many North Carolinians were on the move. Almost all of the state's soldiers had to walk home, some all the way from Union prisons in Maryland and New York. Thousands of former slaves, who had been freed by the passage of the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, moved too. They wanted to live anywhere but on their former plantations. Zeb Vance, the Confederate governor, went off to prison, the only state citizen jailed because of the war. William W. Holden, the peace movement leader, moved into Vance's former home, the governor's mansion. Andrew Johnson, the North Carolina native who became president after Abraham Lincoln was assassinated in 1865, named Holden temporary governor of the state in April. President Johnson's appointment of Holden was part of his Reconstruction plan. Reconstruction refers to the steps taken to restore the southern states to the Union and rebuild the South. During the 5 years just after the war, 1865 to 1870, Holden was the most important individual in the state. He worked diligently to reorganize and reform the state, to great opposition from the leaders who had taken North Carolina into the Confederacy. In the end, Holden's reforms were compromised by violence and intimidation. Black Codes. In the election of November 1865, William W. Holden was defeated for governor by Jonathan Worth, who had been the state treasurer. The legislature elected in November ratified the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, as instructed by the national government, and drafted a new state constitution. The legislature also passed a series of laws that defined the social status of the newly freed slaves, or freedmen, as they were called. The laws, soon called Black Codes, allowed the freedmen to be married, to educate their children, and to own property. However, the same laws denied freedmen many rights that whites took for granted. Black families could not move from one county to another without a pass from the sheriff. Black men could not own firearms, and they could not serve on juries. Most of all, freedmen were required to sign an annual contract with an employer, which meant they could not change jobs more than once a year. The contract also required them to pay for all expenses they owed their employer before they could move to another job. As most freedmen knew, this was really just slavery rewritten, despite the claims made by the 13th Amendment. By 1866, other southern states had also written black codes, and the federal government, dominated by the Republican Party, moved to stop this. They told North Carolina its laws for freedmen were invalid. Congress reinstated a military occupation in the South. Congress told North Carolina that it would not be readmitted to the Union until it rewrote its laws and passed a new constitution to recognize freedmen as citizens. William W. Holden organized the Republican Party in North Carolina to do what Congress required. When a federal official ruled that freedmen could vote in the election for the Constitutional Convention, Holden and other white leaders welcomed blacks into the Republican Party. With the help of black votes, the Republicans won the election of 1867, electing 107 delegates to the conservative Democrats' 13 delegates. The State Constitution of 1868. Delegates from across the state came to Raleigh in 1868 to write a new state constitution. 23 of the delegates were former slaves, and half of the white Republicans had never before held significant political office. A few of the whites were carpetbaggers, men from northern states who had come to North Carolina to gain power and fortune. Together, they formed a government in tune with the needs of the common people. The new Constitution differed from the 1835 constitutional reforms in a number of ways. First and foremost, the Constitution established the idea of universal manhood suffrage. In other words, all men over the age of 21 could vote regardless of their color or their economic status. Before, slave men had been excluded from all voting, and poor white men could not vote for state senators. Second, the Constitution greatly increased the number of public offices chosen by the people. Before, the counties were run by appointed justices of the peace. The new Constitution created the County Commission, where commissioners were elected. The governor's term of office was increased from 2 years to 4 years. Third, the Constitution required that the state provide more services for its people. Most importantly, public education was no longer optional for the counties. Every community had to provide schools for its children. Both black and white children were to be provided with schools, although the Constitution allowed them to be segregated, separated by race. With the passage of the 1868 Constitution, the many new poor voters were able to elect a Republican government. After several failed attempts, William W. Holden was finally elected governor. He immediately started to improve conditions within the state. Radical Republicans in Control. The first step of the new legislature was to ratify the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. With that ratification and the new state constitution, North Carolina was readmitted to the Union in July 1868. The Republicans in the legislature also passed laws that allowed the state to borrow money to rebuild and expand the state's railroads. The same legislature expanded institutions for the handicapped and created Central Prison in Raleigh, where criminals from across the state were to be jailed. The idea was to take hardened convicts and get them away from overcrowded and haphazardly run county jails. Despite being the majority, Republicans faced great opposition from the former supporters of the Confederacy, who called themselves conservatives. Building all the rail lines, schools, and other institutions had led to increased taxes. The basis for taxes remained land, and former Confederates owned most of the land. The conservatives were particularly upset with the mismanagement of railroad construction. In most cases, the contractors cheated the state out of money and failed to complete the job on time. The conservatives faulted carpetbaggers for misleading the former freedmen into making bad decisions for the state. Holden and his allies, they said, were too radical and took the state too far in a new direction. White conservatives regain control. The conservatives worked hard to regain control of the state. Influential newspapers in Raleigh and Charlotte exposed every wrongdoing on the part of the radicals. Some of the reporting was fair, and some was not. Most of all, the white-run newspapers highlighted any mistake made by a freedman legislator. The conservatives also organized a variety of groups to intimidate Republicans. During 1869, the Ku Klux Klan became an active arm of the conservative resistance. As many as 40,000 white North Carolinians may have belonged. The purpose was clearly stated by one member: to provide an intelligent white man's government. The Klan had organized in Tennessee right after the Civil War as a social organization for Confederate veterans. It soon developed into a secret racist organization and spread across the South. Ku Kluxers, as they were first called, generally wore horned masks and red gowns to conceal their identity. These night riders made more than 250 visitations to Republicans in 25 counties. More than two-thirds of those visited were black residents. Sometimes they just warned a freedman not to be active with the Republicans. Other times, the Klansmen whipped their victims for some alleged offense. One white Republican near the town of Hickory was whipped because he supposedly encouraged his daughter to date a black man. The Klan was accused of having committed at least 15 murders, mostly in the area of Caswell, Alamance, and Orange counties. In 1870, for example, a long procession of robed horsemen took Wyatt Outlaw, a freedman who had been brave enough to speak out against the Klan, to a tree at the courthouse in the town of Graham and hanged him. Later that year in Caswell County, John Stevens, a white Republican who dared the Klan to come for him, was stabbed to death. The Kirk-Holden War. To stop the Klan from taking over key places in the state, Governor Holden declared martial law, which occurs when military forces are used to keep order. Suspected Klan members in Caswell and Alamance counties were arrested and held without charge or trial. To make the arrests, Holden sent state militia from the western counties under the command of Colonel George Kirk, who had been a Union officer during the war. Some of Kirk's men were black, and some were from Tennessee. Conservatives across the state severely criticized Holden for making so many arrests with so little evidence. Conservatives called this the Kirk-Holden War because it seemed as if the Civil War was still being fought. In the legislative election of 1870, 15 counties that had voted Republican in 1868 switched to the Conservatives. The Klan had been active in 10 of those counties, an indication that its terrorism had worked. The Klan continued to do mischief and mayhem until a federal act outlawing it generally ended its activities after 1872. Redemption in North Carolina. The conservative legislature increased its control of the state by getting rid of Governor Holden. In 1871, Holden was impeached. That is, charges were filed against him for wrongdoing while in office, specifically for the way he arrested so many people without charge. Holden was convicted in part because he was not allowed to enter testimony about the Ku Klux Klan. The conservatives ruled that since the Klan did not exist, it was not to be discussed. Holden was removed from office, the first governor in United States history to whom this happened. The conservatives then worked to redeem the state by undoing as many of the radicals' reforms as they could. They could do nothing about the fact that freedmen were now citizens and that black men could vote. This was guaranteed by the 14th and 15th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution. But the conservatives could amend the state constitution to change the way state government worked. Because the conservatives held a one-vote majority over the Republicans at the Constitutional Convention of 1875, they amended the Holden reforms. The most important amendments gave the legislature more control over the freedmen in the state. The legislature was given the power to choose the justices of the peace that were in each neighborhood across the state. Often, these justices of the peace had been black Republicans in areas with a large freedmen population. The convention also required that schools be segregated, and the convention made it tougher for poor men who moved around a lot to register to vote. The amendments proposed by the convention of 1875 were hotly debated in the election of 1876. Conservatives, who had begun to rename themselves Democrats, argued that they were bringing redemption to the state, that they were saving it from the trouble caused by the radicals. Zeb Vance, the old Civil War governor, led the conservatives to victory. Vance was elected governor, all the amendments were passed, and Democrats once again were in control. Special feature, Carolina people. When did Henry Barry Lowry die? Folks in Robeson County sometimes tell a tale about a miracle that once happened in their midst. A man came to his family's and friends' funerals even after he himself was buried. The real fate of Henry Barry Lowry is still debated among the Lumbee in the southeastern part of the state. Lowry was descended from several of the original Lumbee families. His ancestors had gradually lost their land to disputes and lawsuits with white neighbors. At the time of the Civil War, Lumbee men were forced to go to Wilmington to help build defenses for the Confederacy. Many Lumbee, including Henry, became outliers, hiding in the swamps near the Lumber River to escape being conscripted into the Confederacy. The Lowry gang that developed in the swamps was led by Henry's brother William. After Henry had murdered two Confederate officials, William and other family members were executed. When the Civil War ended, the conflict continued in Robeson County. Confederate officers arrested Henry on his wedding day to Rhoda Strong, but he escaped when his wife slipped him a pistol to get out of the Wilmington jail. Despite being an outlaw, Henry and his friends successfully eluded capture for 3 years, robbing families of means to give food and other provisions to Lumbee people, freedmen, and poor whites who needed them. Each time, they were said to be courteous and polite. They never stole everything a family had, but always left enough food and clothing for their victims to live in the same manner as their poorer neighbors. Once, Henry became so bold that he walked up on his pursuers while they were resting in the swamp, talked to them a while, then left before they realized who he was. Because Henry thought the election of Republicans in 1868 would mean he would be pardoned, he surrendered. However, his former enemies tried to murder him, and he escaped the second time. North Carolina officials then launched one of the biggest manhunts in U.S. history to find Henry and his new gang. Eventually, most of the gang was killed or fled for their lives to other states. In 1872, Henry disappeared. Although a family member claimed to have viewed his body, no one has ever located his grave. One story said that he had died accidentally when he slipped and shot himself. Another story claimed that he boarded a train with Union soldiers and rode away to Raleigh. It was said he even joined the United States Army. In fact, rumors came back to North Carolina that Henry was the unidentified leader of an Indian rebellion in California, or he was in the Dakotas, or he was living in Atlanta. More than once, he was supposedly seen back around the Pembroke area. For a time, Henry Lowry was as notorious as the other famous outlaw of the 1870s, Jesse James. To this day, no one is quite certain when, where, or how Henry B. Lowry died.